to teach him how to walk. But there is an instruction manual for us tonight. And guess what? It's this little black book that we have here tonight. It is your instruction manual to teach these younger ones how to walk. It is important for us to use that book right there. It's important for us to teach them the ways of God. The first way to walk, you'll find in the book of Galatians, I believe it's in the 5th chapter, where it says we are to walk by faith and not by sight. That's really not as easy as we make it sound. It is very hard to truly walk by faith.
Amen.
It is, because we see with these things here and we look around and it's hard for us to take our eyesight away for a little while so that we can walk by faith. We tend to want to use our eyes. We want to tend to use our minds. We want to use our training in our walk as we go. But the fact is tonight, the most important thing that we can do is walk by faith.
Amen.
Walk by faith. What are we talking about as far as walking by faith? Have you ever closed your eyes and tried to make your way through your house? Has the electricity ever went out in your neighborhood and everything has gone completely black and you've got to find the switch box? You walk by faith. Yeah, you walk by memory to a certain extent, but there's still a walk by faith that you do. You walk believing there's no obstacle in the way. You walk believing nobody moved that chair. You walk believing that there is not going to be a tomcat snuck into your house that you'd step on his tail and scare the complete daylights out of you. That's made up, but the fact of the matter is, I'm trying to give you something to think about here tonight. It takes training to be able to walk by faith. How do you train for it? Well, experience has been my best trainer, to be honest with you. But besides the experience of it, I learned by watching the other brothers and sisters that I grew up with. I learned by watching the people of God over time, how that they trusted in God, how they made their walk. I learned by watching them as they had studied the Word of God. I listened to their training as they talked about the Word of God. And in all of that, I was learning how to walk by faith. And I'm still learning. Truthfully, I'm still learning. You younger ones that are here tonight, have you ever experienced the idea, well, I know how to do this, and you ended up falling on your face? Oh, I've done that so many times over the years. I have. I've learned that the idea of just stumbling through at times, it really wasn't about me. It was about what I had done. Thank you very much. But the fact of the matter is, when you walk by faith, you are trusting in a blessed God that is leading us in the ways. Now, let's go back over to the book of Jeremiah and looking at the 50th chapter of the book of Jeremiah tonight, because we're going to take a little bit different look at this walk. Because here in the 50th chapter, in the 4th verse is where we're going to start. He said, in those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, and they and the children of Judah together going and weeping, and they shall go and seek the Lord their God. Yes, that is important for every child of God. Amen. To say, hey, let's go seek out the Lord. You know, there's coming a day in this world, the Bible tells us about, that people will decide we need to seek the Lord in this matter. I believe in the Bible it tells us, and I'm going blank as far as which book it is, that it said that they'll start to seek out the ways of God and they'll not be able to find them. Bible says that they will go from the north to the west. They'll go from the east to the south, seeking out the word of God, and they'll not find it. The verse prior to it said there would be a famine in the land. That's hard for us as people to imagine today, especially here in these United States, in which that we live in a nation of plenty. We can go to the grocery store and we can find bread, we can find beans, we can find everything our hearts desire just by going to the grocery store, and we think, all right, well, there's no way a famine can happen in this land. We got a little taste of it back, what, several months ago? There was shortages of things. Not too many months ago, well, there was a big shortage of milk for babies. We got a little taste of it, but it was just a taste. Now, let me clarify this. In that verse there, it was not a famine of bread or water. It wasn't a famine of the things that we need physically, but of the Word of God. Of the Word of God. There will be a famine in the land. And we tend to say, as a people here in the United States, just as we said, now there can't be a famine of bread in this country. Wow, there's churches on every corner. There's churches in every state, in every community. There's churches in all forms and fashion in all over this world. But do they preach the truth of God? Do they preach the ultimate path to God? Amen. You see, that's the question. Yes. Was it really the Word of God? Oh yeah, they read John 3:16. They may have read Psalms 23. But did they rightly divide the Word of God? Did they show that truth that was there? Listen to what he says. They will go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant, is what he says, that shall not be forgotten. The world today is trying to seek a way unto God. And I thank God they're trying. But have you ever tried to find something in the wrong place? Example? Take it natural. When's the last time you went to your kitchen cabinet knowing that there was something in that cabinet that you knew exactly where it was and somebody had hid it from you? Most time it's you. They are seeking, but they're not finding, because they're seeking in the wrong way. They're looking for that perpetual. That means it's continuous covenant. But except they go to the true God, they'll not find it. Notice what he says in this next verse. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from the mountains to the hills. They have forgotten their resting place. Now, I realize today we don't want to bash nobody, and I agree. I don't want to bash nobody either. But everybody that says, "Lord, Lord," will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's Bible by Jesus Christ Himself, as it's found in the book of Matthew. Not everybody that says, "Lord, Lord," is a man of God. They're not even saved, according to what's found there in Matthew. And not every one of them can show you the way unto the Lord, how to walk by God. You know what Jesus said about them? If the blind lead the blind, they shall both fall in the ditch. When you're trying to get to a certain place, and you had a blind man that said, "Oh, I know the way. I'll show you. Here, take my hand. Follow me." Well, he might know part of the way, but he's not going to know where them cat's tails are. He's not going to see them. There is a proper way to walk with the Lord. And that proper way is for us to remember that we are the light of the world. We are the ones that are going to show this lost and dying world how to get to heaven. I realize tonight we are the ones here that are showing people how to be saved. Last night, during the early part of our service, we got to talking about different things and how that we should show people the way to the Lord. How to invite people. We was talking about just invite people into the house of God. Just invite people to be saved to God. Telling them about the Lord. Listen, young ones, you watch these older ones and how they are showing you how to work for God and follow their example. They're not the best, but they're good. There's none of us that are the best. I listened to Brother Dean Searcy back a few weeks ago, and he was talking about a mission trip that he went on. He said he was paired up with a man, and he said as that man started in stopped to get a snack or something, and he said we went in there to make a quick stop to get just something to eat. And he said that preacher just started talking to the woman about the Lord. And as he started talking to her, he started telling her about Jesus. What I preached to you the other night? Tell me more about my Jesus. I'll tell you more. That's what he was doing. As he was continuing on talking about Jesus, he told what Jesus had done for him, how he had saved his soul. Brother Dean said, that man, as he was talking, he said he was teaching me how to talk to people about the Lord. And he says, I'm still can't do that as good as he did. But the thing that Brother Bryson was doing, he was just showing what he could do for that woman as far as showing her Jesus. The woman wanted him to stay, them to stay there and just preach. Amen. To her and her family. He said, we can't do it. We got to be in so-and-so. We got to be there. Brothers and sisters, we are the ones that are walking a path that leads to the Lord. And as we are walking that path, we may not be thinking that we are instructing anyone on how to walk, but we are. There's people that are watching us. They are seeing our actions. whether good or bad, I should say that. Hopefully, we are making straight steps. Hopefully, we are not making side steps to one way or the other. You noticed in that reading lesson a while ago where it says, my sheep are lost sheep. They've gone astray. They had left the path that the Lord had instructed them to go. The men of God had instructed them to go. And they had went off the side listening to those men who had misinstructed them. So it was important for them to learn the right path. Now, in order to walk that good path, I'm going to go one other place here tonight. Lord willing, we're going to be done after this. And you're going to kind of feel like that this is just a little bit unusual place to go as far as seeing how to walk. This is my first instruction to you tonight. It's going to come from the 6th chapter of the book of Romans tonight. This is familiar to us tonight. It should be anyway. But listen tonight, I want you to realize what the Scriptures is telling you. Notice in the 3rd verse, he said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Those two verses are talking about baptism. You know that little act that we do from time to time? Y'all are blessed to have this little pool right here where Brother Nathan can take somebody up there and he lays them down in the water and then brings them up. But I want you to notice in the last part of that last verse that I read, he said, even so, we should walk in newness of life.
Amen. That's right.
How many times have we saw somebody join the Lord's church? And I used to have an old church member in Florida that would say, so many times these young people would join the church, they'd get baptized, and they'd be somebody that was standing off on the side saying, how long will they last? That was his words. How long will they last? And when they would maybe stray after a short little while, he said, those same people would say, well, it's about like I figured. Boy, they didn't have much faith, did they? But it's important for us to instruct our people. The very first thing you need to do is join the Lord's church and be baptized.
Amen.
And start a walk in newness of life.
That's right.
I love the old songs that talks. And I don't get me wrong, I'm not a big proponent of what those songs were talking about. How that a man that was a drunkard, how that he changed his life and he brought light unto those people. There's a part of me that doesn't like those songs because they show an evil side in this world. But the change is the important part. Change is the important part because when a sinner is saved, that's a change. When they join the Lord's church, that's a change. When they are baptized in the Lord's church, that's a change. But when they start to walk in newness of life, that's a big change in the eyes of everyone that is about them.
That's right.
I'll have to be honest. When I got saved, that was a big change. When I joined the church and I was baptized, there was a change. Notice I toned that down. For about 2 years, there was not much change. Then I finally give in to the call of the ministry. And I gave in to preaching God's word. And thank God my friend saw a change. Many of them looked at me when I told that I was called to preach, and they said, "I don't believe it. I know how you was." There should be a change in us that shows the walk with the Lord. And he might say, well, preacher, that's not really what it's talking about there in those verses. It's not talking about our change of life. Drop down a couple of verses, down to verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your, did you read that, mortal body? That's this thing. That ye should obey it in the lust thereof. We're not to obey our flesh, our desires, our lust. We're not to obey those kinds of desires. We are to walk by faith. We're to walk in the ways of God so that the world will see that change in us, that it will draw others unto the Lord, that it will draw ones like that one back there. This young one here, he will see that change that we have and desire to be like us. Notice the 13th verse. Neither yield ye members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. He's still talking about fleshly sins. Fleshly desires. Fleshly lust. But yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I look at myself, it's hard for me to see myself as an instrument of righteousness. What is an instrument of righteousness? It's a tool that is fit for the purpose that you need. In my time, my daddy always made sure he had a couple of tools, particular tools, on the tractor. One was a crescent wrench. You could adjust to any size for that bolt. The other thing was a hammer. You can beat anything into place, right, gentlemen? The other thing was a screwdriver. And you think, well, yeah, you're going to have screws. You got to tighten them up. You know, you can take a screwdriver and you can do a lot of different jobs. You can use it as a chisel. You can even use it as a wrench. You can use it as something, as a gouge. And what I mean, you can gouge out grease, you can gouge out dirt. But is it the job that it's really suited for? See, my daddy would take those tools and he would get the job done because he didn't have room for a lot of tools. But God's got room for you to walk the walk that you need to walk.
Amen.
And what that means is you are that tool that God has purposed for a particular job, for a particular place, for something that you may have no idea what it's going to be. But I've got news for you. You can be that wrench that fits. You can be that hammer that does it in general. But the fact of the matter is, when you walk the walk of God, you're a tool that is fit for the job. Gentlemen, how many of you have ever took a socket, we'll say? Maybe it's a wrench that's just a little bit too big. Maybe it's even too short for the job. And you take it and you use it regardless. I see people, I see men move, smiling as we do that. Ladies, I know y'all don't do these kind of things as far as with your stuff. But we'll take something and we'll try to make it work. Sometimes we'll get away with it. We've learned that over the years. We can get away with using something that's not in the proper place or the proper tool. But we usually end up skinning our knuckles.
Amen.
God has a purpose for each tool that He has. What I would say to you, you may feel like you're very small, but you're there for a purpose.
Amen.
We may feel like we're not fit for a particular job, but you're here for a purpose.
Amen.
You may feel like no one cares, but you're here for a purpose.
Amen.
You've got a walk that you need to walk.
Please do.
Right, please do. This church is here for a purpose.
Amen.
To help you walk the walk that you need to walk. Sometimes I just like to pause and give you an opportunity to think. What is your purpose? What do you do? What are you doing that's going to help Him? What are you doing that's going to help Him? What are you going to do in your walk that's going to help somebody else that's outside? What are you going to do in this walk? Now I realize that this message has not had the instruction that in my mind I thought was coming towards this message tonight. But the fact of the matter is, it's what God intended for you. It's the tool for the purpose. In my mind, it don't really fit. You know, I've looked in that toolbox many times and I thought, I haven't got the right tool. Well, I'll try that. And that's close. Man, that works good. That fits just right. We're the tools in the Master's toolbox. I'm just going to say, walk the walk. Brother Dyer, give us a song. How are you going to walk tonight? I suggest by faith. If you don't know how to walk by faith, start learning.
Amen.
Close your eyes. Don't walk through the house blinded like that. But just close your eyes. Talk to God. Lord, show me how to walk.
Amen.
Show me where I'm going. Maybe He won't show you exactly where you're going to be. Next hour and a half. But if you'll ask Him, He'll show you. One more thing and I'll hush. Sister Star asked me yesterday, when her mother was in such a decision, how in the world is now? You just make one step at a time. And that's what you're going to have to do.
Amen.
To walk in this faith.
That's right.
While we stand and sing.
Number 61.